everybody. Welcome to another episode of HP Critical. It's a podcast where my friends and I talk all things gaming. I am Jarell, and I am joined by, who's here? Christy?
Hi, everybody. Pika, pika.
And Gabe?
Hello.
And Brandon?
Hello, everybody. How is everyone doing
today? All of y'all sound so, like, dead. Wake up, people. It's another day.
I am not dead, sir.
Wake up and feel
it. I'm
so sorry. I'm actually feeling very good right now.
Is that awake enough for you?
Yes, but the funniest part was just like everyone's like, I'm awake, blah, 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 and Christy's like, I'm so sorry. Alright, so I was just complaining about Lorcana before the podcast started, because if anyone who is listening to the podcast knows me, they know that I have been quite obsessed with Lorcana, and I think that's a great way to start tonight's podcast, talking all about Lorcana, even though there's so much gaming news to talk about. But who wants to talk about Xbox for the next hour? Not us! no, I'm just kidding. Let's talk about some gaming shit. But first, Disney Plus is giving us. Nobody's gonna guess. All right, Percy Jackson.
Bryce Hike.
Percy Jackson. Oh my god, Disney Plus is giving us Percy Jackson on December 20th. There's going to be a 2-episode premiere of Percy Jackson and the Olympians, all on Disney Plus. I've not seen Percy Jackson and the Olympians. I've not read the books. I know it was that little white boy with the little haircut that did it in the movies, and that's pretty much it.
Oh, he's talking about the movies.
So yeah, my only exposure to Percy Jackson is that first film that had came out. I liked it enough. It was fine. I never watched the sequel because, like, again, there was a sequel.
Didn't even know that was the thing,
Gabe. Like, I saw the first one and just thought it was fine, so I was never inclined to like watch further because it wasn't like Harry Potter where I watched the first one like, damn, I gotta keep watching this. Like, that first one was just fine. It was like, okay. And the only reason I had it is because I like Greek / Roman mythology. So I was like, oh, this is an interesting take on it. And then this was like all the way back in like 2010. An ex bought me like the first book to read. And then we had broken up like a month later. So I was like, I want to touch this.
Oh,
shit,
no, that's horrible.
Damn, that's the worst.
That is horrible.
That is the worst.
For the record, I've long gotten over it, but I just never got around to reading it. So
hope that ex isn't watching the podcast now or when it airs.
I don't care.
Oh my god!
I don't give a damn. Oh my god. I don't give a damn.
Not going where I thought it was. Anybody else on Percy Jackson? Any comments?
Yeah.
Gabe, yes. Take it away.
So I read the books when they came out because, like Brandon, I was very into Greek and Roman mythology. This actually taught me very much about Greek mythology. Because it's not like, it's gonna be funny to say it. It's not like Disney's Hercules, where like that Hercules story is like,
it's,
I think, 5%
accurate.
Yeah, I think it's like 5% accurate. But like Percy Jackson really opened up. It was, and it also made like it was simplified for, because it, you know, it started off as a children's book, so it was simplified for kids. It was very easy for me to be like, oh, okay. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I have to go Google this because I don't know what it means. So it's very cool, very excited. The movies came out, and they were, I mean, even when they first released, I was like, wow, this is ass. Because Percy's supposed to be, they're all supposed to be kids. And the cast that played them were all like in their 20s already.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, like the only person who looked like he was described like he was Percy in the book. But everyone else, like Alexandra Daddario was playing Annabeth, who was supposed to be a blonde haired girl with gray eyes. She was a redhead with green eyes.
Is that a problem for you?
Yes, because if you're gonna make it, like, if you're gonna use the book, use the book. And before, hold on, because I know where you're going with this one.
I have nothing to say.
Rick, I can never say his last name, so I just call him Rick. Rick wasn't, yeah, he wasn't necessarily a part of the movies, so he didn't get his say in it. Unlike now, where yes, there's characters who look
different. Didn't he leave the movie?
Huh?
I thought he was signed on board for the movies, and then after that, he left due to creative differences or something. Or was he never signed on board?
He kind of had the J.K. Rowling role where he was there, he was present, but he didn't actually like change anything. It's not like the show Disney worked hand in hand with Rick and he made the changes. But even then, Annabeth still has her gray eyes. Like, the fact that in the movie, a lot of the characters had no features of what was described in the book, that pissed me off. And at the same time, the movies just changed the plot so many times.
The movie just looked bad.
Yes.
How relevant was her blonde hair to the plot?
It's pretty relevant when you read the book. Read the book.
No thanks.
I haven't read him, but I do know the detail that he's referencing, so I get yeah. it.
So they just left that plot point out of the movie.
The thing is, again, Rick is working hand in hand with Disney. Like, Rick is, he I has a whole.
They left that plot point out of the movie.
We don't know because we. Oh well.
Did you not?
It wasn't part of. It was, hold like... on. It wasn't part. It wasn't part of the first movie. Okay, it's later on in the shows in the series. Anyway, whatever, you're distracting me. I like their casting choices. Edge as Ares is pretty, I feel like, spot on. If anyone's watched WWE, it's a little sad that Lance Reddick is Zeus for reasons. Yeah, that is sad. Yeah, yes. So that's mm-hmm. See how they handle that one. But yeah, very excited for the first season.
I am too. I'm interested in giving it another look.
I hope the series brings people to read the book.
Sure.
The book is actually really good.
No, I was just saying if I like it enough, I might give it another look. What were you gonna say, Christy?
Oh, I finished the book series in like 3 days.
Yeah. Oh, they're very interesting.
They're very short and you just want to keep reading.
And then it continues on. I'm not even going to go into that. That's a different thing. It's so funny because Brandon has Octillery on his shoulder and he's very still. Like, you can tell by the way everyone's moving around and Brandon's just.
I have to be. Otherwise, Octillery fall out. She is a very temperamental octopus.
I was just watching the trailer for the TV show.
It was the teaser trailer, as they
said. It was good.
Yeah.
We all have our own opinions. And everyone's are valid, and it looks good. I didn't finish watching it, but it looks good. It looks as good as
One Piece. I just don't want my lightning to be stolen. That's all I'm saying.
He doesn't understand the pun.
I don't get it. Sorry.
I don't think he knows what the first book in first season is called.
I don't. Oh, no, I do. Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief.
There we go.
I know that much. I also don't want to talk about this anymore, so I'm going
to
move on.
No, wait. I got one last thing to say before we move on. It's a line from the first movie that's the most unintentionally hilarious line just because of the delivery of it, where I forgot which god it was, but they just went to like, Percy Jackson, surrender the lightning bolt or else. Just like that delivery is just like, what is this supposed to be serious? Cause...
Oh, that's right, because Sean Bean played him.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, yeah. But also, like, we've talked about this far too long. And we, like,
I remember that the next time we talk about Final Fantasy.
The Elder Scrolls. No, first of all, there is a very big difference between. I'm not gonna continue this actually because we've already gone too long. It is a trap.
It was a trap.
The Elder Scrolls 6 is going to skip PS5 and it's not coming until at least 2026, according to some documents from Microsoft and the FTC versus Microsoft case. And anyone who hasn't noticed, a lot of documents have been leaked, apparently from Xbox. From Microsoft employees themselves. And we're just gonna go through all of that information as we got it, because a lot of stuff came up. So, we'll go piece by piece. So yeah, the first piece is going to be that the Elder Scrolls 6 is, as we assumed, going to skip PS5. It is not coming until at least 2026.
Is it bad for me to say that that sounds earlier than I expected it to come out?
Well, the question posed for you guys is, should games be announced so early?
Absolutely not, bro.
No, not that early.
3 years from now, way. And the announcement was how long ago?
Okay, I know why they did it. It's a PR move to like assure Bethesda fans, like, hey, that Elder Scrolls is still coming. We haven't forgotten. You don't need to announce it to tell people that Skyrim has been re-released so many times in the last decade and has sold shit zillion dollars or whatever. You don't need to tell people. You don't need to tell people that Elder Scrolls 6 is coming. We know Elder Scrolls 6 is coming with that money Skyrim made. Like, as much money as Skyrim continues to make, they know, and the audience knows that 6 is going to come eventually. You don't need to announce it if it's not coming like in the near-ish future. So I don't think I understand why they're there, but I ultimately do not think it was necessary to announce that early. And I just feel that way about a lot of games that are announced way too early. Shit happens in the background. Delays happen. Restructuring happens. In Metroid Prime's fourth case, development just restarts. You know, stuff happens. sometimes it cannot be helped. But if you can help it, don't announce things too early. That's my 2 cents on it.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, like, it's one thing to announce a game because it's an early development and you're working on it. But then it's another thing to announce a game and you haven't entered early development.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, when they announced the game, I don't think they even had, like, the plot line written down yet. So, right, no. Yeah, so I that was just a very...
Square.
Huh?
I thought we learned this from Square ages ago. Don't announce things too early. But some companies never learn.
Yeah, and it's like... Again, like there's nothing... The only thing about this game that they had was that, at that point, was that stupid trailer of mountains. Like, if I wanted to see that, I'd go on Google Earth and go see the Swiss Alps or some shit.
Just watch Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the beginning of the Two Towers. I literally got the same exact camera roll through the mountains in Two Towers that I did in that stupid trailer that told me nothing. Yeah, but it's just, that's such a like thing to do. And that's why, because I remember we had the argument. I think it was almost about a year ago. Jarell and I talking about, you know, Nintendo and the way that they do their trailers. It's, they do trailers and then within like the month or two the game comes out, and I was like, oh, I don't like that, because that's, you know, I want to know when the game's coming. And but when it. You look at things like this, huh,
I loved it.
Yeah, and but now you know, seeing that kind of, I was gonna say facade, but that's not the right word anyway. But yeah, when like when you look at games like Elder Scrolls 6 that they announce, it, what is it, it was announced 2018, it's supposed to release 2026 or later. 2026, right. So 8 years. We know that's not happening because the game just entered early development this year. And by, I don't want, no, because that's talking about earlier other things from the leaks.
I don't think, you can go ahead, but I don't think, listen, I'm going to disagree with you. I think they're going to try to hit 2026 as hard as they can. And it's Bethesda. So
we lost the crunch?
But, won't it's be a Bethesda.
It's gonna look as bad as it would have had they taken longer anyway.
And that's what I was gonna talk about next. So. It was like they're gonna they, you know, if they do hit 2026, get ready for another. I'm not gonna say Cyberpunk because I think Cyberpunk was
fine. Get ready for another, yeah. Mortal Kombat 1 on Switch.
That's a perfect one. Wait. I would like... it, yes, but I, yeah, no, actually, yeah, that's I think that'd be a good comparison to what the 2026 release would look like.
And to be honest, the only reason I think they're gonna try to hit it so hard is just because of all the leaks that have come out, and because of some of what we do know Phil Spencer has said, it does feel a lot like Microsoft is under pressure and they have to hit a lot of these things to make things work for them. But I mean, to be honest, you're probably right. It's probably much further out than 2026 is at
it
all.
It honestly just sounds like Microsoft just needs to develop a great game.
But that's the other thing. Now we're talking about, you know, this is Microsoft. I don't think it's fair to the Bethesda guys that now they're going to be pushed to get that game out by 2026 because of the leaks. But then at the same time, no one told Bethesda to be like, hey, yeah, here, buy us out. So that's another topic.
Yeah. Okay. So this is going to be fun. Let's talk some more about leaked stuff. I have actually, instead of doing critique it like this, wait, what did you say?
I said critique that leak.
Oh my God. We're going to make that a segment. Critique that leak. Good job.
We cannot. That did not. That is not original. That is from a YouTuber.
Wow. All right. Well, we didn't. We're not gonna. All right. So I'll just go over some of the things that were brought up in the leak from Microsoft, and here are some of the highlights. Oh crap. Okay. Here are some of the highlights. So lovingly highlighted by @GamePassTracker on Twitter. They include the full timelines of Xbox plans from now until 2030. There was information on Xbox trying to buy Nintendo, possibly Warner Bros., Valve, and more. There was the Xbox handheld with a picture. There was the mid-gen and next-gen Xbox dates of 2025 and 2028 with photos. One was like a cylinder looking type thing. Interesting look. They showed off the next Xbox controller, codenamed Seabile, coming May 2024. There was talk about Oblivion and Fallout 3 remasters and remakes. Red Dead Redemption 2 next gen Xbox Cloud console. Next Series S, codename Elwood, coming August-September 2025, which we had already heard about previously. The next Series X, codename Brooklyn, coming in October-November 2025. Indiana Jones coming soon. Dishonored 3, next Doom game. The Elder Scrolls 6 was originally planned for 2024. Ghostwire Tokyo 2, they were shooting for 100 million Game Pass subscribers in the next 8 years or less. Cloud gaming smart TV app spreading to more TVs. A new Elite controller is in the plans. Premium controllers in the plans. Better than the standard controller. Worse than the Elite controller. Upgraded cloud gaming server blades. The Series X version. And a lot more stuff. Which I can talk a little bit about some of the specifics as well. Because there are some quotes that I did want to go over from some of the leaks here. But while I'm looking up those, anything in there that sparked you guys' attention, please feel free to tell me about now.
Well, to Christy's earlier point, instead of just making it like Microsoft is like, oh man, maybe we should make game. What's that? The studio, make it rain. Let's go.
He's not looking, man. It's not funny when he doesn't look.
Well, you two saw this was important, and whoever's watching the video version will see that. So that's what matters.
It feels like the Despicable Me meme. Marissa and I, we were talking about it last night. We were like, it feels like the Despicable Me meme that's been going around. It's like, oh yeah, you know, let's go into the gaming industry. Oh yeah, we had to make great games. We had to make great games.
What? Yeah, yeah, what? Yeah.
Are y'all done talking about it?
Was that all these wonderful studios?
You asked so many things that I kind of lost my train of thought.
Like you have so many great studios, and you're not utilizing them. You're not, helping them, like, make their games better so that way, you know, their games become system movers. Like, what is this? Why do we have to take over Valve? Why do we have to purchase Nintendo?
We're just in a weird spot right now because, like, Microsoft has already purchased a shit ton of like studios already, and we're currently at the point where we're waiting to see the fruits of those purchases, whether it works out well for them. We've had one miss with Redfall, and I guess a hit with Starfield. A lot of people seem to be liking it, but that's not enough of information. We need to know more. So, obviously it's a business. They're not going to listen to what I'm about to say, but like I think you should just like push the brakes, see what you're doing first with your acquisitions, and then decide if that's the future. Like if this works out well for them, then, you know, I don't want it, but you know, maybe a business decision is to buy more studios to increase people going to Xbox. But again, we don't know. We don't know. And yeah.
So I will bring up, because I didn't, there was a quote from Phil Spencer that said at some point getting Nintendo would be a career moment, and I honestly believe a good move for both companies. It's just taking a long time for Nintendo to see that their future exists off of their own hardware. And he said something similar about purchasing Valve as well. But this was back in 2020, correct? I believe? Yes, yeah. This was back in 2020. Yeah. If you have any comments on that, you can share them now. And then I have a segue to lead into what he said regarding what Christy and Brandon were talking about the purchases of studios and how well that's going for them. But yeah, first let's talk about the acquisition of Nintendo and Valve and more things that they thought they were going to buy in 2020.
So before I say the stupid thing I'm going to say about the Nintendo thing, the fact that he said this, it didn't give what month the email was sent, right? We just know the year.
August.
It was in August.
August 6th, 2020. After Animal Crossing was released.
Yeah. So the fact that he said this after Animal Crossing's boom, the Switch's second boom because of Animal Crossing and because of COVID, and because of the Switch's success in 2017 with its first party titles. This, you know, in movies and in books and like everywhere you see, like people make fun of Americans for thinking they're better than they actually are. This to me is a perfect example of that, because there's no way you can look at that, look at the success Nintendo has had previously, and then look at how they were doing even in that year of 2020 and say, yeah, we can help them out. When in 2020, what was Xbox doing? That's not a rhetorical question. That's a question that needs to be that I'm asking for an answer.
Getting ready to launch a console, but and basically doing nothing to their existing console while they set up, basically.
But also, so it's their, like, you know, marketing the S as being just as great as the Xbox Series X.
Oh, we're gonna get to that one too.
Yeah, that one's gonna be fun to get to. But like, yeah, but like, I don't know. To me, it's kind of looking more like Phil Spencer doesn't run a game development. It doesn't look like he thinks of the previous Xbox as its own game developer. It's like he kind of like sees it like, oh, we're a name and it just looks better if we're attached to you, but you're gonna do all the work for us. So it's like, I don't know. Like, the more Phil Spencer, the more things about Phil Spencer come out, the more I'm like, you're kind of a piece of a shit, dude. Like, you're not.
The more that he talks, I'm like, you just need to stop talking, sir.
Yeah.
Write your stuff. Say what they write and just stop talking.
Yeah, that's how I'm feeling about him in that email. Because it's the Valve thing, I kind of see it because Xbox is present on PCs. It is, you know, you have the PC Valve Game Pass.
But Valve, they are formed by ex-Microsoft people.
Yeah,
like,
but yeah.
You're going to be so pissed. Yeah, but like, I would be pissed.
That one, I could see why he would say that. But I really, to me, the Nintendo one is the one that kind of stands out, because it's like, do you honestly believe that you're good enough to, I guess in his eyes, he thought they'd be helping Nintendo.
Well, yes, he said.
But honestly.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was about to say, they tried to buy Nintendo back in, the early 2000s. Brandon and I, we were talking about this. They tried in the early 2000s. They were laughed out of Nintendo's offices in Japan.
Do you know what it's to be laughed out of an office in Japan? Who they are generally usually very respectful in terms of business meetings.
Well,
you know that was all kind of fumbles involved with that. If that was the case, just like
they were like, "You stupid Americans."
I just think about like this entire thing. It's not like Phil Spencer's obviously like the main oppressor here, but like referring to that meeting back in 2000 when they first attempted to try to like take Nintendo. It's obviously Microsoft, you know, they had this new console coming out. They thought they were going to be on top of the world at that point. And they thought, well, let's just get Nintendo one of the best ones and work together. We'll take down Sony together. We're good enough. We'll fly under our banner, basically. They're so, the height of hubris. And like I said, laughed out of the room. 20 years later, it seems like nothing has changed, even though Xbox hasn't really gotten any better, really. But and like you said, Gabe, Nintendo was like an all-time high in 2020 after Animal Crossing, and the Switch in general has just been doing really well since its launch in 2017. It takes a really big hubris to just look at all that and be like, "But we can do better." And like, it's also woefully short-sighted because, like, you know, on the surface, Phil Spencer is talking all about like, oh man, you know, Nintendo is, it's good that they're on the market. They bring creativity to the industry that only they can bring. While in the back, he's just like, but we can get him. You don't think that if you have, that you don't like, you don't think that if you like hadn't, like, I'm wondering what the end game was for Phil Spencer and Microsoft if they bought Nintendo. Like, do you intend to allow Nintendo to continue this creativity, or are you just going to give them a lot of money just so they can continue making Mario, Zelda, Pokemon, and nothing
else? Bro, it's Halo, Code Splatoon. What are you talking about?
So I've been wanting to give a little more context to this conversation. So I'm going to break in for a second to add some context to this conversation that might change your opinions a little bit based on the email that was sent. So excuse me, what was actually said in the email, I'll read to you guys some of it, was that Phil has had numerous conversations with people in Nintendo about tighter collaboration between Nintendo and Xbox, and he felt that if any U.S. company would have a chance with Nintendo, that Xbox was probably in the best position. The unfortunate or fortunate for Nintendo situation is that Nintendo is sitting on a big pile of cash that they have until recently not pushed further increases in market growth until recently, which had something to do with them acquiring shares of Nintendo during that time.
Yeah.
But he also says that they're basically looking to be pushing for more from Nintendo stock, which could create opportunities for them without the catalyst of an angle to a near-term mutual agreeable merger of Nintendo and Microsoft. He did not think that a hostile action would be a good move, so they're right. attempting to play the long game. But they've seen a full write-up of Nintendo and Valve, and they're fully supportive. The higher-ups were fully supportive of something like that. And then he goes on to talk about Warner Bros. And ZeniMax and acquiring IPs, and what was for sale and what wasn't. And he was essentially looking and discussing about the value of the opportunities there for what could happen with a merger for Nintendo. And then he does say, as I mentioned, at some point Nintendo would be a career moment, and I honestly believe a good move for both companies. So I wanted to read that because it specifies more so that it was a business transaction, to the point of Nintendo's doing really, really well right now. They're sitting on a pile of cash, and if anybody can merge with them, we're probably the best bet. And we've already seen that, because we've seen the merge between Xbox and Nintendo, because they've had announcements of things that have come for both. And I don't remember exactly what they were, but I remember we were shocked about it at the time, because they've had announcements of them working together before as well. So I think it's less of we're just going to buy out Nintendo, and more of they can make us money. They have something good going on. They're sitting on a pile of cash. If anybody can get a merger with them, it's us. We're not trying to do a hostile takeover here. We want to do it in a way that works for both of us. Now, it has slightly worked in the past, because like I mentioned, we've seen Xbox and Nintendo collaborations. Do you guys remember what it was that they collaborated on? It was some game that had crossover, but PlayStation didn't, and they had been working together like that. I don't remember what it was. I think it was Fortnite, actually. Was Fortnite, where Microsoft and Nintendo had worked together to give them cross-platform play, but it wasn't on PlayStation.
I remember, this Play and Together, Survive Together initiative.
Then we were all like, what? This is random as fuck. But, like, I wanted to add that context, because I think a lot of the headlines have just been like, Microsoft wants to buy Nintendo because Phil Spencer's dumb. And I think it's more nuanced to a conversation of, like, this is a smart business move for a businessman who's working for Microsoft, and who clearly mentions Nintendo's sitting on a pile of money, and I think they can do a lot with it, and I think we would benefit a lot from being partners with them.
Well, that much is not inaccurate. Like, from Phil Spencer's perspective, it's absolutely unto their benefit to strike this partnership with Nintendo, because it could... It's debatable how much it could help Nintendo, but it could definitely help Microsoft. That's undebatable. So, of course, he would want to do it. And being, like he says, it'd be a huge career move. It most certainly would. You have one of the most historic video game companies in history under your banner, or side by side, whichever it would play out. Like, that would be huge for a business, for a career, and it would be huge for the company. Like, I don't think really that's like the issue here, like, of what is good at Microsoft. It's just whether or not it'd be good for Nintendo, and would it be good for the gaming industry in general? Because even if it would be, even if it's not a hostile takeover, like not Microsoft just straight up buying Nintendo and forcing them to do whatever, even if it's, I think Nintendo's biggest strength is its autonomy. It's freedom to be able to come up with the ideas with its games and with its hardware that other people just simply don't think of. And it doesn't always work. Obviously, Nintendo's had a lot of failures over the years, but they've had a lot of successes. I just worry that if Microsoft were to partner with them, they would lose that. And Nintendo has historically always been a company that they like controlling their narrative. They always like, you know, having that autonomy, that they just wouldn't willingly want to give that up to Microsoft. And I just don't think they see the benefit in it.
Yeah, but I don't think that's where our talking points should be based on what we got from the email, which is why I brought up my point, because I feel like our talking point should be what the purpose of this email was, as opposed to speculation on what would happen if it did happen. Do you know what I mean? Because okay, I feel like only because I feel like that is what the conversation has been, which we kind of already had. But the conversation should be, you know, what does each of these companies get out of this, which is kind of what you were talking about. And I think that something that Gabe brought up in our chat, which was look at where Microsoft was in 2020 and look at where Nintendo was in 2020. And of course it makes sense to send an email and be like, let's fucking merge with these bitches because they're sitting on a pile of fucking money and we suck. Like, we have nothing. No, what can we do?
I disagree with what you just said.
Okay.
With the where you just said right now, where they're sitting on a big pile of money because we and we suck. I strongly believe that Xbox, Phil Spencer especially, is very delusional about how good they actually are. I'm not saying they're dog water. I'm not saying they're complete shit. I know I joke about it a lot. Xbox does have their strong points. But I strongly believe that the higher-ups at Xbox believe they're doing really good as comparison to what you see on social media and everything else. Though I don't think that they saw it as a, you know, they're sitting on a bunch of money and that's going to help us help them help us because we're doing bad. I think it was we can help them make more money and use that money to do more stuff.
Very valid. However, I do think that Phil Spencer is very aware of the position that he's in at Xbox. I don't think he's delusional at all. And that's just from conversations that he has had recently, especially with like the conversation about Redfall and how he was like, yeah, we totally fucked that up. And a conversation that I want to bring up for another news piece, so thank you for the segue. excuse me, which specifically goes to the point that we were talking about earlier about having all these studios and not having anything out. So, oh my gosh, I'm dying. This is an article
from water, man. This is
but it's a podcast. This is an article from IGN.com written by Wesley Yinpool. And the tagline is, this is really a disastrous situation for us. That was Phil Spencer. And it's titled, Leaked Xbox Emails Reveal Microsoft Scramble to Fill Huge Hole in 2022 Game Lineup. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Essentially, he just talks about how, we've got all these, he says it. He says, you know, we've got all these studios and we have a huge gap in 2022 of absolutely nothing to show for it. So basically what we need is to find a bunch of titles to get out, including indie titles, if we have to put some stuff out, because we're in a really, really bad situation. And I'll quote some of the article here. Where is it? Okay, yeah, here it is. Quote, I feel we are in a huge hole with our games lineup, Spencer said before predicting a 16-month gap between the launch of Halo Infinite in December 2021 and the release of Redfall without big exclusive launches on our platform, end quote. This is really a disastrous situation for us. Given all we've invested in content across studios and our GP content fund, we need to learn from this and build a plan forward. Spencer then issued a call to arms for his Xbox team to sign third-party games to fill the hole. Quote, let's roll up these sleeves and get planning on the next 2 years of games. And that's basically what I wanted from here. I don't think there's anything too interesting aside from that. There was another little bit of information about Baldur's Gate 3 in which they weren't too invested in Baldur's Gate 3. And I don't know if you guys saw, but Larian Studios, one of the developers over at Larian Studios, they basically were like, it's okay because nobody thought the game, like they don't blame Xbox for not being invested in it because they thought it would be, it's a hard genre to sell. That type of genre in video games is hard to sell. Nobody thought it would be as big as it was, so he doesn't blame Xbox for not being as invested as they should have been based on the success of it. But that's a little bit of a tangent. But yeah, this is, I just wanted to bring that up to mention that, yes, he does understand and acknowledge that they've had issues. They had a 16-month gap. That's more than a year's gap of no big title for this still relatively brand new console at the time. And he is aware that, yeah, we bought all these people. We have all these assets. We need to make a plan to fix the issues that are going on. And I know it sounds like I'm defending him, but I do just want to point out that, like, a lot of this leak has sounded really, really bad for him, and, like, fairly enough, because a lot of it does just sound bad. But I do think that I personally wouldn't discount his ability, because I'm not saying that he knows how to fix things, but he does know how to understand what's not working and what's wrong, is what I will say. And that's all I have to say on it. If anybody wants to add to any of the rest of that conversation,
a small little counterpoint to that is he knows about how bad they're doing now. These emails are from back then, so that's kind of where I was hitting at. And my other thing is, they obviously had the plans to buy the studios they've already bought. But my thing is, was there something that hindered? Because you can't buy something and not have a game plan. Like, you can't buy all these game studios, you know, and then have those big gaps of having hits. So, like, I mean, obviously there was COVID. Their game plan was to
cancel all the PlayStation version. Their big game plan was to cancel all the PlayStation version.
Which, I mean, it's been sorry, I just reopened the scab. Oh, pain. Well, obviously, you know, that's been working, because now, you know, Redfall didn't make it a PS5. Starfield didn't make it a PS5. Elder Scrolls 6 is not going to be on Sony, which that's another talking point I have. Lying sack of shit. But, like, so, like, my thing is, I do not want to show my blood to the fans.
You don't need to see that,
Redfall. Yeah, my bad. but, like, so, like, my thing is, like, did they just buy these other developers and think, okay, we're good because they obviously have a plan, we don't need to worry about it? Or, again, did something big happen that kind of, like, knocked everything out of the park for them?
No.
I'm sorry. Before anyone responds to that, I need to go clean this.
Okay. Well, I have a response that I guess I'll hold on to.
I can say something in the meantime. Okay. If you want to. So, only thing I'll say to it.
Let me say it before I forget.
Okay. Okay.
I'm sorry. And then you can recap it, because I will forget. Answer his question, yes, he did say that the problem was they bought the studios and didn't bring them into the fold as they were supposed to, and left them to do whatever they wanted to on their own timeline, and it didn't work out, which was the issue with, he specifically spoke to this with Redfall, which was that, like, they purchased Arcane, they brought Redfall in, and they didn't work with Redfall to create the content and get the games out in a manner that they wanted to, which is why it released the way it did, which is why Arcane came out and was like, hey, we wanted this game on PlayStation, this isn't the way it was supposed to be, because of that. Like, they did purchase the studio with an idea that these studios had games in development, but there was no cohesion between Microsoft and Arcane in the specific instance of Redfall that would allow it to be what it was supposed to be and released when it was supposed to. Sorry, go ahead.
No. Well, first off, let me respond to that by saying that seems very counterproductive to even buying the studios then, at least in terms of what they were telling consumers of the benefits of it. Because obviously they funded the development of these games, you know, funded the exclusivity and stuff like that. But obviously buying a studio is a lot more than just being, you know, the executive producers. Well, executive producer implies not only that you are funding the said project, but that you also have an active say in how development is going. On one hand, I want to praise them for allowing the companies to still have their freedom to do what they want and just in a sense of giving them money to do so. But on the other hand, if they're left to their own devices and you don't give them any kind of feedback whatsoever, then it's ultimately going to fall upon you if it doesn't work out, which is what happened with Redfall. Like, Nintendo, with their properties, there's a lot of developers that work under them. But obviously, they're always checking their work to make sure it still has that quality to it that when it releases. And It just is a shame that there really didn't seem to be a game plan for it. It's a lesson that Microsoft is learning now, because Nintendo struggled that with the Wii U. Like, you know, when that system came out, there was like no games for that shit. And same thing with the 3DS. Like, Nintendo during that entire generation learned the hard way that you have to have a game plan for your releases, so you don't go, you know, however many months without a major game coming out. You gotta like have some ready, stagger some with some double A games, single A games, or whatever you want to call them, to make sure your release schedule is consistent. And now, you know, to Chrissy's point about developers not learning from each other's mistakes, Microsoft has clearly not learned that lesson by just doing that. And this also, I'm not going to go too deep in this last point because that's a tangent on its own, but just a quick note. I think it also speaks to the larger problem of the advent of AAA games prevailing the market and people not willing to, some people not willing to play anything else besides that. A lot of the studios they bought are known for making these AAA titles, and it takes time to make those games. You have to have other kind of titles sandwiched in there, be they indie titles or titles that, you know, maybe would, I don't know, retail like $50 at market as opposed to 60 or 70 games that are, that fit that kind of like budget. It's a good way to make sure you're having steady releases, if nothing else. But if you're only producing AAAs, then even with the game plan, you're going to struggle to have a consistent release schedule. But yeah.
Yeah, this is just depressing.
It is a little depressing.
What topic are we talking about now?
Well, we're still answered the question.
Oh, was there something that hindered them?
Yeah, there was it was just that they Phil Spencer talked about specifically with regards to Redfall, like they didn't know when it was coming out. They bought the studio, they allowed them to work on it on their own, and they didn't bring them into the fold of what the plan was, and that's why everything just got muddled up, because they didn't do their job.
Basically.
Yep. Okay. Next? Yeah, sorry, I'm just like, I'm knee-deep in...
Knee-deep in the leaks.
Yes. Oh my god.
I mean, Marissa and I were like trash talking Microsoft to the point that Slack was like, no more messages.
Oh man, I would have loved to have been in that chain, because, you know, Microsoft is not looking good right now. And then, you know, they have all these whatever. I will talk about something that we recently found out, that I found out today, which is that there was a court document that revealed that the that 75% of Xbox Series owners own the cheaper, less powerful Series S console.
Oh, we're getting to this part
those
now.
Poor people. I'm so sorry for them.
I had no idea
it was that skewed.
Exactly. And I just
like,
I am so.
But why would you? Why would you not think it'd be like that? I mean, the Xbox Series S is just as powerful as the X. Is it not? Well, that's what Xbox said.
Oh my god. So yeah, no, that's what they said.
That, you know, the Series S is just as powerful as the X, and that, you know, you're getting, they're both comparable. You should be able to run, you know, games from the Series X onto the Series S. Right?
It's just crazy. It's just
I will say this article was updated. And they do say that they don't know what the exact period that the documents refers to was. April 2022 sales alone, quarter to date or year to date, they're not sure. Because it looks like it's a greater trend. Their firm estimates that the current split between Series X and S is closer to 50-50, with the S having a slight lead over the X.
Yeah, that makes sense now.
That was 75% seemed quite extreme, but it's a nice follow up to a previous story that we did on our previous podcast episode, because we did what Gabe and Chrissy alluded to just now, is that, you know, a lot of people bought the Series S under that pretense that it really was just as powerful as the Series X for the most part, and that you were just essentially getting next generation for a cheaper price. Or in some cases, people got the Series S because there was nothing else. Like, they wanted the Series X, but that shit was sold out, so they had to do the Series S because they just wanted to get in on the next generation that was available. So that's, I'm sure, accounts for a lot of it.
Honestly,
but yeah,
pisses me off.
if Microsoft has access, and of course they do, Microsoft has access to this information of how many Series X and Series S are sold and what the ratio is to like how many of each, right? So that explains even more why Microsoft specifically is like, we got to make these Series X games work. Yeah, because we saw all these consoles and now y'all telling us you can't make games for it. When y'all, like, it's not the developer's fault. Let me just make that perfectly clear. It's Microsoft's fault for either thinking or lying that their product was as good as what the Series X model, and developers being at last minute is like, what the fuck? We can't make our games like for this thing. And now it's just like, now Microsoft's sweating because of like, people bought our systems. You sure you can't make this shit work? Are you sure you can't make this work?
Like, even if they can make it work, it's going to be a delayed release. Like, which I would be pissed if I have a Series S and, you know, there's a game, the AAA game being released on the Series X, and I can't play it until at least 6 months later.
Right. They're
just being treated like Switch fans.
That's not what I was going to say, but that's actually a very good comparison. That's actually a very good comparison. What I was going to say is being treated like past gen owners when they're owning what's, quote, a current gen console. And that sucks.
Yeah, this literally pisses me off because to know that, obviously I didn't know the numbers were as skewed. And even if they're 50-50 now, we're 3 years, going to be 4 years into the life cycle. And you guys already have plans for what, 2028, 2025 refresh. Like, I know that, like, it's not going to be as bad because they're doing the Series S refresh, which they have to do because there's no way to be able to keep these games going at the rate that they have them. But to know that half your player base, literally almost half your player base is not able to play certain games. And granted, there's not a huge amount of games that this is affecting, but it is affecting
because they don't have a lot of games anyway.
Sorry. No, I mean, even in general,
I know what you meant by it, but I had to throw that jab in there.
Fine.
You had
to, because even cross-platform games too, but like, some of the problem is it's still some of the biggest games, like Baldur's Gate 3.
The surprise smash hit is not playable on current gen console, that being the Series S, to be clear.
Well, you still can't play on the Series X either. So, like,
I mean, true, but you know what I mean.
But you know it's coming to the Series X at this point.
Right. Well,
or they've said that it's coming to the Series X at this point.
But, you know, it's like, it's kind of, we're also seeing it at PlayStation where we're moving away. We're finally starting to move away from PS4 and PS5 games and move on to PS5. However, your two options on PS5 will both allow you to play whatever game comes out for PS5. So you can't, because you can't play Baldur's Gate on PS4. You can't play Baldur's Gate on PS4 either. But PlayStation doesn't have this issue where they're gonna have to, and I think we talked about PlayStation saying that they're not going to be doing a mid-season refresh because they don't need one, although I feel like I said Microsoft said that, so I could be wrong and I could be misremembering, but yeah, that pisses me off to know that 50% of your player base is like on the lesser version that you've
marketed
as like the as same thing
comparative,
exactly, and it's
comparable
not
comparable to.
Yes.
Like, why?
I'm sorry.
Like, why?
Go ahead.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
The mid series refresh is like the pro, right?
It's supposed to be I don't know the full details. I just know it's supposed to be a Series S upgrade.
No, I meant like in terms of PlayStation, it'd be the PS5 Pro, right?
Oh, yes.
Like, that's what you mean by mid. Yeah. Okay, that's, I just want to know what you meant by mid series refresh.
Sorry. Yeah. It would be PS5 Pro.
Okay. They said they're not going to do that?
It was either Xbox or PlayStation that said they didn't need to do it.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
I mean, it could have been that they didn't need to do it.
The thing is, there's
right
just
now.
So many accounts on Twitter that are just like, the PS5 Pro is being rumored. I'm like, bro, why can't you guys just wait for things to be announced? Like, the Switch like 2 is Switch a perfect 2? Example of that. They've been talking about the Switch 2 since 2020, and now it's like, it's finally 2023, and finally Nintendo was like, yeah, we're bringing up another one.
So we're going to get the new Nintendo Switch 2?
The new Nintendo Switch.
new Super Nintendo Switch U.
One other thing that happened here was that Microsoft had desired and undesired headlines for their announcement of the bid for Activision Blizzard, which obviously, you know, is going to be something that companies do when they're talking about these big mergers. You do need to have a conversation of, like, this is where things could go. How are we going to handle it? This is what we hope for the outcome, and this is what we don't. And I'm going to read these to you guys.
On the nose.
I'm going to read these to you guys. Just so you know, Marvel equals Microsoft and Amaze equals Activision. So the desired headlines were Marvel Amaze deal reflects global game boom, which basically means Microsoft Activision deal reflects global game boom. And the other one was with the Amazon deal, Microsoft challenges big tech rivals and booming game business. Those were the desired headlines. These were the undesired headlines. Microsoft pays premium for distressed Amazon. Cultural challenges loom as Microsoft announces Amazon acquisition. Regulators wary of big gaming deal. Game publishers concerned about Marvel Activision deal. And as Christy mentioned, those last two, pretty much what dominated the news.
Yikes. Yeah, that's the other thing. Two desirables, and yeah, like, it's just like that.
And
that
still
seems
went
like
through with it.
Well, I mean, yeah, like, yeah, it makes total sense. I mean, to be fair, this just brings me back to the Phil Spencer is a businessman who needs to make money because Game Pass is not profitable still. I think I don't know if the consoles are yet profitable. I think they just became profitable this year, I think was the conversation that I am probably misremembering. But yes, we discussed how Call of Duty is just making all the money every year no matter what. And being able to get that onto your system when you don't have exclusives, yes. People are still paying stupid amounts of money for Overwatch season passes. Yes. Like, World of Warcraft is still a thing. All of these things on your system are what's going to be making the money. And to be honest, it's like, you know, Nintendo, they say, he said,
making money to pay their attorney fees.
Oh, well, yeah, at this point, yeah. But, you know, he said in his email, Nintendo's sitting on a cash load of money. You know who else is sitting on a cash load of money? Activision Blizzard. Can't get Nintendo. What's the next best thing? Get fucking Call of Duty. Like, it all makes sense. Like, when you think of it that way, to me, from a business standpoint, it all makes sense.
No, you're right.
And then
you
pull it away from the competition.
I see the thought train, yeah.
You pull it away from the competition because right now it's the exclusivity with Call of Duty and PlayStation. You remove it from the competition. You offer the little freebies. You have Game Pass. You're making a way for players to migrate to your system because it's all there. It's all tidally wrapped in Game Pass. Your cloud gaming is working better than Nintendo's and PlayStation's. You have all the brand new releases that people don't have to pay $70 for, especially when you look at something like I'm gonna bring it up again, Mortal Kombat 1 for $70 on Nintendo Switch. When you look at something like that, and then you have this system that's a really great price at an entry fee, you pay your $15 a month, you get every game. Now you're getting your Call of Duties. Now you're getting your Overwatch exclusives. You have the merger where you get to play, you know, cross-play with Nintendo. On paper, it all sounds like decisions that are making Xbox the place to be as far as gaming. And we all know that gaming's going digital eventually, and Xbox is going to be leading that with their Game Pass lineup. And PlayStation can suck a dick because of their stupid ass fees that have been raised. I got the email. I was like giving them $50 a year, not even paying attention to it. That shit said, we're charging you, I think, $80 now? And I was like, why the fuck are you charging me? That is $20 short of $100 to do what? Play Overwatch a couple times a year? Fuck y'all. Like, what is going on? And so that just makes Game Pass more enticing because I get the internet and I get brand new games for free at $15 a month, which is, what's 15 times 12?
I'm not good at math.
Oh, wow. My God. That's not a mental math. It's fine. It's $180. It's $180. So, yeah, I am spending $100 more, but I can cancel that at any time. I don't need it all the time. And it doesn't feel like it doesn't feel as much when you're just paying $15 a month instead of somebody taking almost $100 from you for the year for something that I think I use Game Pass more than I would say I would get away for using the free games that I download from PS Plus. So all of this is just like, honestly, the only person I know that plays all the games for PS Plus is Brandon. Like, that's it. And he's just doing it for free.
Like, that's literally it. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't be touching half of those games. I wouldn't be touching if it wasn't for my stream series.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's all on paper would be something to drive you towards the Xbox ecosystem. So to me, I like now that we know all this information, I'm like, okay, well, I get it. You're a businessman. You have, especially coming from someone who sent out a scathing email that was like, look, bitches, we have 16 months of nothing. This is unacceptable. We cannot be in this position again. We need to figure out how to not be in this position again. We cannot let this happen again. What do? We grab the shit that works. Like, because we're not fucking working. None of y'all bitches are putting shit out. We can't even get our shit together with the people we bought. Like, so, like, what's the next option? So, I think, whatever, I'm done.
No, I mean, that's a good way, I guess.
Because I could just keep going on. Feel free to disagree with me or if you have anything else to say, because I feel like I just talked a lot.
I'm looking. I can't find the
line. I feel like the reason why it didn't... Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't, like, Microsoft come out the door, like, with a statement saying, like, they acquire, like, so many studios all at once? Or am I misremembering things? I could have sworn, like, there was like 1 week we kept hearing, oh, Microsoft acquired this studio and another studio.
I feel like they did a few in the same time period, but not like all of them. But I do remember them like every day in a week. It was just like, they've acquired another studio.
I think they might have acquired one too many at once.
Wait.
Not realizing, we don't know how to run this. We don't know what we're doing.
Wait, hold on. Did Microsoft public, or like, I don't know if I just want to make sure I'm not misunderstanding. Are you saying to me that Microsoft publicly said that they felt buyer's remorse?
No, I don't think that's what she's saying. More like my understanding of it, and Christy, obviously correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding of it was like going up during E3 and being like, hey, we bought all these studios and you want to know what they're working on. Here's everything they're working on. But kind of it was a news week of just finding out that they just bought fucking everybody.
I don't know why.
I think that they bought one too many and then they did not have a plan going forward on how to merge everything. They were like, we are just going to buy it all up so that way we can hurt our rivals and our competitors. And they didn't really have a initial game plan, and that was biting them in the butt.
That's fair.
I just, Jarrell, for whatever reason, when you framed the sentence that way, for whatever reason, it's like, all right, here's all the studios and here's what they're working on. They got their sticky note there. It's like,
nothing. Oh shit!
Oh, hey, Arcane, Redfall. Yeah. We're gonna hype that up. Let's go.
No.
Let's go.
It was Arcane Redfall. Oh shit! Release date. Fuck. Oh no! What do we do? The Hi-Fi Rush, throw it out. Indies, go. Good job. Yes, more indies.
That's why they stealth drop Hi-Fi Rush. Like, shit, we need something. Go! Put it out right now. It's done? Go.
It started with, all right, we got Halo. Oh, fuck, everybody hates Halo. Fuck. Like, now, what are we gonna do? And it's just,
Well, they had Halo, and then after that, didn't they have to delay the release so it didn't release at launch?
Mm-hmm.
And then they launched it, and then they had to delay the single player campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and then canceled.
They just didn't have a good game plan. They didn't have a comprehensive game plan to begin with. They just bought studios to hurt their competitor, and then they're like, "Oh no, what could ever go wrong? Oh, wait, hold on. We have 2 years without any releases.
Brandon, what's the next plan,
guys?
I'm right? About what?
They cut the couch co-op.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
And that shit got cut. No, but like, this is the same reason you can't play Baldur's Gate 3 on Xbox couch co-op. When are they gonna fix this shit? Like, I didn't even make that connection. Like, the actual reason they said they can't do it is because of couch co-op on Xbox not working. Like, bruh!
Can you imagine making a console and then not having your one very, very successful exclusive work completely on it?
And y'all want Nintendo, the kings of couch co-op, on your side?
Well, that's why, because they really can't get the couch co-op.
Nintendo Sensei, teach us how to actually have friends in your house to play video games together.
I mean, this is like Abe said, this is clearly fucking why.
But the sad thing about it is that it worked on every other Xbox console beforehand, so it's not that it's something new for them.
Mm-hmm. My God, yeah, exactly. I used to.
They fired one engineer who knew how to do it, and then he put the code with them. He's like, "I'm not, nope, goodbye, guys. Yeah, y'all on your own."
Mark from engineering, you got this, right?
Mark is like, bye. I did not get hired for this shit.
Like, what brand is it? Mark from engineering? Nintendo's hiring. I'm going over there. Let me fix their couch co-op.
Bruh, like, I would, to be honest, I would also be the person that would just be like, just cancel this shit. Like, if I'm like working on getting Halo out and they're like, we can't do couch co-op, I'm like, bro, just fucking cancel it, because at this point we don't even have a fucking game. Like, just get something out. Like, just fucking cancel and get something out. And then 3 years later I'm like, oh fuck, remember when I said just cancel couch co-op? We kind of need it for Baldur's Gate 3. It's a big fucking game. My bad, y'all, but also it's too late. Any other things you guys want to talk about Xbox before I move on and close out?
We have been memeing that. We have been memeing this on big chat, fumble. But yeah, big fumbles. Not just in what's happened, but the stuff that we know about what is to come. So we have memed this on like on our personal chats about and socials about how we just kind of know a lot of this stuff is in the horizon. So when Tokyo Game Show comes up and
yeah,
like, oh my God, I can't believe they announced this. What?
Oh my goodness!
Wait, what I missed?
Did you guys see that
announcement? So I think it was IGN. IGN on Twitter was like, Xbox will be presenting at the Tokyo Game Show, and almost all of us were like, well, we already know what's coming. So is this really necessary?
I see. Yeah. I missed all of that. Oh my God, where was I? Oh, not on Twitter. That's why. Oh, I'm sorry, not on X.
No, it's Twitter.
Okay.
That is the one thing we are all allowed to dead name.
Okay. Oh my God. Okay, anyway. The Tokyo Game Show is coming up. Tokyo Game Show 2023. We know it's going to be there. It's going to be Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, the best game ever made. Saga franchise, Infinity Strash, Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Dai. What a name. And
Dragon Quest Dai. It's Dragon Quest Dai.
It's Infinity Trash.
Whatever, the main character's name is Die.
Adventure of Die.
Infinity Trash. Yes.
It sounds like you're saying Infinity Trash. Like, every time you say it. And
hey, I'm not gonna lie, that game does not look great. But continue.
And Foam yeah, it does. Stars.
Infinity Trash?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Dragon Quest one.
Oh, no.
Whatever.
Foam Stars? You mean Splatoon?
No, apparently it's very different from Splatoon, according to some people that have played it, but I guess we'll see. But also, how many of you... I know, it's coming so soon. How many of you guys have finally played Yakuza that I keep telling everybody to play?
Sir, I'm 98% done with Tales of Arise. I need to find time to finish Tales of Arise.
So no.
And also the Pokemon DLC.
Pokemon DLC is exactly what I was doing. I was literally playing right
before. Bruh, so nobody.
Wow, y'all making all these excuses.
Exactly.
All these excuses. Just say no.
Just say no.
Just
say no. Just say no. Gosh.
No.
Right,
I'm playing it because the game that I
was currently. Are y'all playing Fighter Kaito to support your wife?
Okay.
Play what?
You can play two games at one time. Miss, I'm also playing Pokemon DLC. You just named like three games that you're playing right now, so that means
get him, Drew. Get him.
I am.
Get him.
Anyway, the trailer, a 10-minute trailer for Yakuza, I forgot the name, is
Infinite Wealth.
Thank you, Yakuza Infinite Wealth, coming out in February. The game looks amazing. I'm doing a plug for it. I loved Like a Dragon. It's one of my favorite games, like top tier game, definitely in my top 10. If you get a chance, you should definitely buy it on sale or play it. Wonderful fucking game. I played it on Xbox. Probably gonna get Infinite Wealth on Xbox too. Great fucking time. We got that trailer for we talked about it already, so never mind. I have one more piece to say, which is about Evil Dead the game.
Oh yeah.
I'll read this to y'all.
Evil Dead the game is dead.
Yeah, pretty much. To the Evil Dead the game community. Today we have made the decision not to pursue the development of new content for Evil.
Me too. Me too.
I have decided not to pursue content for
Evil. So sorry. Today we have made the decision to not to pursue the development of new content for Evil Dead the game. We also confirm that we will not be releasing a Nintendo Switch version of the game. We will keep the service up for the foreseeable future and address any major issues that arise. On behalf of the entire team at Saber, thank you for all the groovy times and your continued support. I wanted to bring this up because they went with the decision to not release the Switch title of the game. First of all, this game has not even been out for a year. Number one.
Yeah.
Like, the game has not been out for a year. So the fact that they're just like, all right, it's done. Now, they are going to continue to support the servers for the foreseeable future. Like, they're not stopping that. So, like, you can still play the game. But there are not going to be any updates. Basically, they're just holding the servers up, and that's that. And they're not releasing a Switch version, and apparently the game had some issues. I didn't look into how many issues the game had, but apparently the game had some issues. And I just wanted to know, because we've talked at length, not on the podcast, but we've talked at length about the state that Mortal Kombat 1 is in on the Switch and how horribly horrendous it is. Do you guys, what do you think? Do you think that the them not releasing on Switch is just because of a hardware issue that they've seen, that they know it's not going to be playable? And then also, what do you think about the Mortal Kombat 1 version of the Switch playing so horribly and being released in the state that it's in?
Well,
what do you think about this game that just came out? I'm sorry, this game that came out less than a year ago, and they're already like, "Yeah, fuck it."
Yeah, yeah. On that point, on the Evil Dead game specifically, the Switch version. I'm sure if the game's getting dropped in under a year, that means that shit wasn't profitable. That's just the sad truth of it. Like, there's no business reason you would drop support this soon if it wasn't like blowing up. And therefore, if you're not going to be supporting it with like new content long-term anyway, then why bother with a version that people are just not going to buy and is not going to look good, which I'm going to get to in a second. But yeah, it just seems like they're just cutting their losses here. So they're like, all right, this is not successful. Keep the servers, as a means of good faith, we'll keep the servers open so people can still play the game rather than just drop the whole thing altogether. But there's just no logical business to just continue making the Switch version if it's just not doing well to begin with. Like, it's just gonna, and I don't think even the knowledge that there's another successor console coming out next year even had anything to do with it. It's just not a good idea to do it, you know. It's just period. And then yeah, Mortal Kombat 1 on Switch, that's very disappointing, just to say.
Yeah, talking about this game of the year.
Switch version, all right man.
Yeah, just the Switch version, nothing what else, just the Switch version.
Switch version,
it doesn't exist. The Switch version.
Jarrell had a conversation about this literally yesterday, and I had operated under very false pretenses because Mortal Kombat 11. The thing with that one, it sold well, decently on Switch, because it looked worse than the other versions, obviously, but it still played fine, so it sold decently for that reason. But Mortal Kombat 1 is not that same situation. It is noticeably worse, not in just terms of graphics, but also lag. The visuals are just really bad looking. There's bugs aplenty. And they charge $70 for this version, as you alluded to earlier, on the same console. So you are paying $70 on Switch to have a significantly worse experience. Even when patches come out, it's not going to be complete parity with the other versions. It should not be $70. Like, everything about this is just if it just looked worse and was $60, could 100% justify getting the Switch version. Because if you have a handheld version of Mortal Kombat 1, maybe it looks worse, but you can still have a good playing version. But that's just not the reality of what we have right now. And Jarrell said it best on our personal chat. The PR damage they're going to be taking for this is not worth the money that they would have gotten for this Switch port, despite how Mortal Kombat 11 did on Switch.
100% agree with everything you said, Brandon. Speaker of truth. The knower of wisdom.
Why are you giving him this long-ass Game of Thrones name?
No, let him cook.
Also, I'm sorry, I laughed because when you said Bugs of Plenty, it just reminded me of The Lion King for some reason. Like, oh, funny.
Slimy yet satisfying.
Slimy yet not satisfying. The worst game, like, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, there's only been one other game that cost $70 on the Switch, and it's a good one.
It is a good one. And so, that's the audacity. Because that came out the same year, boy, that's the obvious comparison to be making right now.
The audacity to charge me the same price. I was willing to pay $70 for Tears of the Kingdom. I was, because I knew what that game was going to be. I knew what it would entail. I was like, fine. Like, if this is the one game y'all are going to charge $70 for, bet. I'll do it. Just like everyone else. Like, we knew what this game was going to be. So I was like, whatever, we'll do it. The audacity to charge me $70 for a game where I throw his head off the screen and the shit stays there? You're fucking joking. I literally watched, like, there was a comparison, and it was like, oh, regular version here, Switch version underneath, and, like, you can see there is some fatality where they, like, blow up the world, and, like, you can just watch the whole world explode on the PlayStation one. On the Switch one, it literally just goes black, and then it just, like, has a orange screen, and then it just ends. And I was like, so what? Why? What was the purpose of this? Like,
por qué?
Por qué? I don't understand. It's really bad, and it really pisses me off. Like, I don't think that there's anything you can do to fix this now. Like, and I think what pisses me off more is that, like, people talk so much shit about Pokemon, which rightfully so, because it came out in a really bad state, and it's still in a really bad state. But I hesitate to say that it's not unplayable, because I know that for some people it was unplayable, and the experiences varied so much. But Pokemon's fucking turn-based. This is literally a fighting game. You cannot play a fighting game like this in any capacity at all. So why even put it out? And I posed that question in the chat, like, why would they just not scrap it? And I still think they would have been better off just saying, I know we're all like, yeah, put it on Switch, every game's on Switch. It's okay. Not every game is meant to be on Switch sometimes. If you're going to do the shit like this, just don't fucking do it. That's like Kingdom Hearts. Why the fuck y'all did that to Kingdom Hearts? Like, the fact that y'all can put Nier Automata on Switch and make it look great, but, like, make me cloud download Kingdom... Like, just keep that shit, bruh. Nobody wants it.
I think that now that we're kind of, like, talking about it, I think what may have happened here is, well, besides the fact they thought it would sell well, because again, Mortal Kombat 11 on Switch did decently, I think they had maybe the wrong idea of what the better PR move would have been, because clearly they announced this for Switch because again, Mortal Kombat 11 did well, so they wanted to keep that I guess the fan base that exists for Mortal Kombat on Switch going, so I guess they said let's do that. And then, assuredly, during development, they saw what this game was turning into on Switch. And rather than come to the executive decision, let's not release this Switch version, they thought it would be a worse PR move to cancel the Switch version and said, put the shit out anyway. And that's obviously very wrong.
Because how could you think that?
I don't know why they would think that, but they decided to release it. So, like, apparently they thought it was still, apparently they thought releasing the $70 game that was busted and buggy was a better decision than telling people, yeah, we announced this, but we're not doing it.
But, like, we had another game that was announced for Switch. I think it was a game that you liked, Brandon, that we talked about on the podcast that they canceled.
Oh, it was
for
Marvel.
Switch.
It was
Midnight Suns.
Midnight Suns, yes. That got canceled for Switch.
Was that? I don't think that was the game we were talking about, though. I think there was another one.
But that did happen.
Well,
it may not have,
probably
it may not have been
the better decision. Like, to be honest, if someone makes that decision at this point, I'm after Mortal Kombat 1, I'm like, all right, bet.
I was disappointed that Midnight Suns got canceled for Switch, but you know, I respected it because
it's a great Switch game, to be fair.
It's a tactical game. I love playing tactical games on Switch. That's a great platform.
You love everything on Switch, but, and I wish I was you.
I mean, I don't play everything on Switch.
I said you love playing everything on Switch.
I do, especially certain genres like that. But no, if they decided that, me, you know, we're not, the Switch version's not working out, you know, I respect it. I ain't trying to play no buggy ass mess on the Switch. Like, whatever. I'll sit down and play it if I have to.
I hope they offer refunds.
They have to. They
based on the way it is, like, I really do feel like they have to.
Because Ed Boon said he's fixing the game. That's fine. But you can look at it two ways. One, if you're fixing the game now, that means you sold me an unfinished game, so I deserve the refund regardless. But two, I'm with Drill on this one. I don't think you can fix that game enough to make it look and run well on the Switch at this point. If you couldn't do it before. So like, I definitely think in that situation, also give me the refund. Like,
yeah.
Either way you look at it, it's someone deserves a fucking refund.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And if you're going to keep updating the game and you sincerely believe you can make that game look decent and work well, that, you know, maybe the refund's like, you know, $40, $50, but some people got robbed.
100%.
We'll put it that way.
100%. And I would probably go as far as saying remove it from the Nintendo eShop until it is fixed.
No, like, I agree. They did that with Cyberpunk. Do the same with this version.
I don't think it is in as bad of a state as Cyberpunk. I know I'm bragging on it, but better than Cyberpunk because Cyberpunk was literally unplayable. This game technically is playable. I hesitate to call it playable just because it's a fighting game. Like, if it wasn't a fighting game, I would say that it was playable. Probably more so than Pokemon. I think it has probably less crashes and less issues than Pokemon, but it looks way worse than Pokemon, that's for sure. So I guess I can't say that it's unplayable, but it is definitely a game that you shouldn't be selling in the current state that it's in. And that's actually also pissing me off. Everything's pissing me off. Microsoft,
If I was NetherRealm, as soon as the word about Nintendo making, you know, saying they have plans for a next-gen console as early as next spring 2024, that's when I would have gone to the team and like, yo, we're pulling the Switch version. Like, the world knows there's another console coming out. We're going to be okay. Pull that bitch.
Just wait. Could you imagine, like, if the rumors are, we're not going into Switch 2, obviously, but like, if the rumors are true about it, and what kind of performance it has. Can you imagine if that was Mortal Kombat 1 was like a launch title? That'd be a great launch title for that new system.
Can you imagine, actually, like, if the launch title for the next Switch is Mortal Kombat 1?
If you heard, it'd be funny if it kept the same, like, click noise the Switch has. You hear, so it starts off with a red Nintendo screen, and then the click, get over here! Bro, people will lose their minds.
You're welcome, Nintendo. You're welcome, NetherRealm. Pay us.
Hey, actually, yeah, we deserve some money for this PR idea we just gave you.
It's too late.
No, because they can be like, here's the actual version of Mortal Kombat.
There's another company who can use some of our ideas if they're smart enough to use it.
Wait, who?
Especially if the rumor title is going to be a launch for the Switch 2.
First of all,
I know what game she's talking about. I can't remember its name.
Final Fantasy.
Sorry, my bad.
Wait, it'll be a nice
launch
title. Final Fantasy what? I'm so confused.
Final Fantasy 7 Remake is rumored to be a launch title for the new Nintendo console. Don't say no one cares about that because you've definitely said before.
I stopped myself.
You've definitely said if Final Fantasy VII Remake was on Switch, you play it.
Listen, I would because I played it on Steam Deck and it was fucking great. If you don't want to play it on PlayStation, go play that shit on the go. It's great. It's great. Chrissy, do it. I double dipped, so you should too.
If remake comes but out, I'm a broke Switch to.
But I'm a broke grad student.
So am I.
Just rob somebody.
Yeah.
No. Oh my god.
And then get kicked out of my program. Exactly.
No.
That's if you get caught. Oh my gosh. You guys are so goody two shoes. Live a little.
Damn right. Okay. First of all, Brother Game will give you
the instructions.
Okay. We're not going to this conversation.
We're still live here, guys.
Yeah, we're about to end. Any final comments for anything from anyone?
It's all jokes here. Don't do crimes.
Perfect. And with that,
Robin Hood teaches us differently.
I forgot.
Honestly, I was gonna say something, but it's a spoiler for Persona, so I'm gonna not.
Yeah, don't spoil the people. Good night, everybody. Bye.
Oh, good night.
Good night. Bye.